Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. 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 Bring them out.
6'2" right-hander Dylan Cease.
Yeah. 97 and up, and Bregman is gone. Now an RBI opportunity for Alvarez. Swing and a miss. Dylan Cease picks up strikeout number 2. Starts his delivery. There are 6 seconds on the pitch clock, and another great pitch, and Abreu is gone. That is what had Dylan Cease finish second in the Cy Young race last year. Ooh, strike 3. Yes, ooh is right. That's 4 strikeouts in a row for Dylan Cease, and the slider is filthy. Cease is right. Cease joins Logan Webb and Garrett Cole with opening day 10 strikeout games.
White Sox win over the champs, the Houston Astros, and oh, God! Welcome in to the Cap'n J. Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shea, we got Jay Moore, we got you. For a 3-hour ride here on this Friday morning, open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you can watch this show and all the shows here at ESPN 1000. And Cap, we got what we wanted. We wanted to have wins for our teams in opening day, and by God, we got them. Cubs and White Sox win yesterday.
Outstanding pitching. I love the pitch clock, but we'll get into that. I may be in a minority. Maybe there's a vocal minority maybe out there.
That would be me.
Dylan, we'll get into it.
I'm the vocal minority here, but go ahead.
So am I. Well, Dylan Cease, magnificent. Marcus Stroman, stop yourself. Mm-hmm. Big hits in big spots. Dansby Swanson, welcome to Chicago. Andrew Vaughn, get it done, big guy. Loved it. Cubs win. They beat the Brewers. And the Cardinals lost. And the White Sox win. Take that.
On that National League side of things, that was a good day for you. Cardinals win and the Cubs.
Oh,
the Cardinals
man.
Lose and the Cubs win.
So other than I did not want to see Wilson Contreras get injured. He took a 103-mile-an-hour fastball off the leg, so that was a problem. But he had 2 hits. I root for him, not his team.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made that clear to him. I hope you hit 390 and play great. I hope your team goes, well, 162, and he laughed. He had to be helped off the field. They lost. They came back from 3-0 down, 5-3 down, tie. They take the their bullpen gagged it away. My bullpen? Good morning, good afternoon, and good freaking night. And then I sat down on the couch for last night, and Dylan Cease, you are simply magnificent.
Think about that. You have 2 terrific starting pitching outings. Marcus Stroman, we did not talk a lot about him yesterday, as we should have at Old Crow Smokehouse yesterday. Mm-hmm. And by the way, thanks to everybody that came out to see our broadcast yesterday in Wrigleyville right before the Cubs and the Brewers. But you had 2 starting pitchers, Cease and Stroman, that got it done. Stroman, though, let's talk about him just for a second. 8 strikeouts through 6. Cap, I don't know how long he's going to be a Cub, but all I can tell you is that here's a guy here that wanted to be here. Wanted to be a Chicago Cub. How often do you hear that, where a guy says, yeah, I've been around the league, but I want to pitch at Wrigley Field?
Especially when they were going through a rebuild. They were terrible. I'll pick them.
Think about that.
Pretty cool.
He chose the Cubs as much as the Cubs chose him. And then he gives you this energy when he's out there. Huh? I mean, opening day starter, that could be daunting for some.
Yeah.
Okay, 40,000 people here. Okay, deep breath. No, not Stroman. He puts on the cap, make sure his hair is intact underneath there, the little do-rag, and he goes out there and gives you a gem. But I like his energy out there. That's what I like. Okay, is that a number one starter on a great team? No, probably not, but I'm just telling you that you like to have a guy like that on your roster that keeps you in the ball game. Other side, you get Dylan Cease. We talked yesterday about who could be the Cy Young Why not Dylan Cease? Why not this time around him being locked in? He picked up where he left off last year. Couldn't be happier that on a 0-0 tie for the majority of the game, Cease keeps you in the ball game. So two solid starting pitchers for the Cubs and White Sox yesterday.
Dylan Cease was so dominant. Like, Marcus Stroman had to navigate a bases-loaded jam, I believe, in the fourth. And just the way Jed said to us yesterday, we're winning with pitching and defense. Ground ball the second. Horner to Swanson to Hosmer. Ring it up. Inning over. And there's Stroman banging on his glove, going nuts.
Energy. You love that.
Yes. And if you're in the opposing dugout, you hate it.
Oh, absolutely. But you don't want just the stoic robot coming out there. Come check my glove. Come check my hand. Thank you. Tip the cap. No.
Have fun.
He's out there like, yeah, I need that energy from the Wrigley crowd.
I loved it.
So and then you got to love that if you're a fan.
Last night, I sit down on the couch. First of all, I told you yesterday, it was halibut day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Wildfire has the best macadamia nut crusted halibut. Yesterday, it returned on the menu. It's only there now until October.
Mm-hmm.
Bam! Picked it up. Thank you, Jay Moore. They swam right in the boat. They cooked it up. It was delicious. We're eating it, watching the White Sox game. Marcus Stroman was phenomenal. Dylan Cease said, hold my beer.
Yeah.
18 straight, he retired.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1-0. There were a lot of idiotic plays in baseball yesterday. Two of them in Chicago games. The Jackaloon, what was his name? Urias?
Mm-hmm.
Diving into first base to try and beat out a hit in the Cubs game. And he injures his hamstring. Hey, dumbass, do you ever see an Olympic sprinter dive across the finish line? You don't. You run through the tape. Run through the bat. You're diving to miss evade a tag? Okay, you weren't. And you're out. Bang, bang, play. Out. Take a seat. Oh, your hamstring's hurt? Because you're dumb. And we go to the White Sox game. Down a run on a wild pitch by Aaron Bummer. It's a physical error. Those don't upset me because they happen. They're human beings playing.
Fair.
There's a ball in the corner, and there goes Moncada to lead off the inning. What was that, the seventh?
Mm-hmm.
Lead off the inning, trying to stretch it into a triple. If you do that, you better make it. Bam, you're out. Bang, bang, you're out. And I'm thinking, there's their last good chance because the Astros bullpen's loaded.
Well, you saw what I said about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was heated. Because that's not the last time we've seen that from Moncada.
Correct.
And when we went around the diamond, Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox, who was the best player at each position, I gave you Patrick Wisdom. Absolutely. And someone would say, well, wait a minute, Moncada. No, I've seen enough. Just not a smart ball player.
He's not.
He just isn't, Cap. I mean, it's one thing you've already lost the trade with him. But the other thing is that just give me a double. You don't have the wheels of Anderson and Robert. You just don't. And you haven't had it since 2020. And you try to stretch a double into a triple? Look, yes, the White Sox needed offense, but not that badly. The same thing with the guy from the Brewers. I've heard Steve Stone say it for 25 years. Do not dive into first base. You can get hurt. And we saw a microcosm of that yesterday.
So
crazy. How does that happen?
I don't know.
Listen, it's opening day. Yes, you've been shut out by Cubs pitching. You don't need a base hit that badly to get yourself hurt in that spot. Urias.
And it slows you down.
Yeah.
He might have beaten it out had he run through the bag.
Now, immediately, the average Brewers fan is blaming Council for that. And it's like, it's not his fault. He doesn't know that that guy's going to die to first base.
Guys have played the game their whole life.
Yeah.
So, that happened in the Cubs game. Then we're eating our halibut, watching Dylan Cease retire. He gave up the first batter of the game, got a hit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh boy. And bam, 18 straight, he retired. His first pitch breaking ball was as dirty as anything I've seen.
Uh-huh.
It was incredible. And then he comes out of the game. People on social, what are you doing taking him out? He's at 86 pitches. It's one of 162.
Yes.
There's two men on. Relax. So they take him out. They take him out, and here comes Aaron Bummer, who looks healthy. His ball was live.
Yes, especially when it was in the dirt. It was live then, too.
Yeah. Throws one by Grandal.
God.
You don't have an iron gate back there. And bam, it's 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets out of the inning. Everybody in the dugout's trying to pump him up. They're showing him, getting pat on that, and he's furious. You see him yelling in his glove as he comes up. And then the Moncada play happens. I'm thinking, oh boy, what a way to lose. 1-0, you're going to lose that. And Yasmani Grandal, bam, 400 and whatever feet. We are tied.
You take that catcher over your two or three veterans you got on the Cubs there, those two or three guys. Soon as Yan Gomes was signed, I go, that's the end for Contreras.
You did.
No shot.
We had that story. Gomes. Remember?
Yeah.
We reported it on the show.
Yeah.
Somebody texted me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yan Gomes just went to the Cubs. What?
Yan Gomes.
And I texted Contreras. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And now that story can be told. What did he say? Trade coming.
Yes. I believe it was an airplane emoji also.
Right.
I believe that was attached to the text.
Trade coming, Cap, with an airplane emoji. And they didn't end up trading him. He left to go to St. Louis.
I turned to you like, you already got Wilson Contreras. Why do you need an old rickety Yan Gomes on the... Oh, I see what's happening.
Yeah.
The trade never happened, but now he's with the Cardinals. But I loved what I saw here. A couple things. I was asked you yesterday, I mm-hmm. said, Cap, do you believe that Boxberger mm-hmm. will be the closer? I wonder, is this closer by committee? Is this a one-off? Because we saw Fulmer at the end. I was surprised to see Boxberger in the eighth in the game for the Cubs. Is that your closer? Because he's got the most saves of anybody on the roster, right?
Boxberger? Correct.
Like career saves.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they don't have him back yet because he's recovering from Tommy John. He's supposed to be back, I don't know, June. Cody Hoyer, I think, is who they look at with his not plus 97 stuff mm-hmm. that he could be the guy. But right now, David Ross said, we're good. We're going to go by matchup.
And, of course, on the other side of the town, you got the babyface assassin in there, Lopez. And I go, okay, that's a long guy.
Dude, he threw 101 yesterday. Like, where did that come from?
Sometimes strays an arrow, though.
Well, the guy who hit the home run, Alvarez?
Yes.
That thing was crushed.
It was.
Crushed. He got out of it, man. He came up with a big pitch in a big spot. Ball game over, White Sox win. It's a good day. You beat the defending world champs. You heard the game here on ESPN 1000.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Two, the Cubs beat the Brewers. And three, the freaking Cardinals gave up 10 runs and lost. There were more hits in that game between the two teams, I think, than any game in like 12 years.
Yes.
Loved it.
So much fun. So opening day was fun. And there's some question marks about opening day as well. We know that you have a busy schedule. You know, whether you're working, you're a parent, you're taking care of people, taking care of yourself. So maybe you didn't watch a lot of spring training baseball, but maybe the first time you watched baseball this year was yesterday. We had our biggest exposure to the pitch clock yesterday. Did you like it? We're going to talk about some of the numbers that we saw in yesterday's games and take your phone calls. Let's open the phone lines now, as a matter of fact, Shay. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Our phone number, Cubs fans and Sox fans. Hey, opening day was yesterday. Want to get your thoughts. And also, the pitch clock yesterday. Game is a little quicker than normal. We'll explain why next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Checkmate 1-6, suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot. It is brought to you by
Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. I was out at Hawthorne yesterday. They've got the PointsBet Sportsbook there. Sample their fine cuisine. Get yourself some drinks. Gamble on sports. Horses, have a great time. We say good morning to Snorling.
Good morning, boys. Baseball's back. Got a lot of baseball here in Shot or No Shot today. How we doing?
A little baseball. I'm feeling good about the baseball.
Give me a couple minutes on that.
Give me a couple of minutes on the baseball. Unbelievable. Ohtani Angel was unbelievable yesterday against the A. So I enjoyed it, man. Day and night baseball.
How about five teams through shutouts yesterday? Mariners, Twins, Rays, Cubs, Yankees. That's tied for the second most in any season since 1900. The only time there were more, 2015, there were six.
I don't know if you have this on your Shot or No Shot. People that need to know, our new listeners, that we don't know what is going to come for Shot or No Shot. We have no idea what the question is, and I don't want to step on it, Shay. I don't. Is one of your questions Shot or No Shot? Does the pitch clock help the batter or the pitcher? Because that is something that we're going to keep our eyes on, this new pitch clock and just the new rules.
That is not on my list.
Okay. But it is something we should keep our eyes on, right?
It's worth discussing. Yeah. All right, let's get started with Shot or No Shot, Hoodrow. Yesterday, we talked to Jed Hoyer about the upcoming season, and Kaplan asked him about his willingness to spend massive dollar amounts next offseason. Listen to this.
When I look at where we are, I'm excited about where we are, but I also know there's definitely some impact offensive potential that we could use. And certainly you could always use in front of the rotation starters. And hopefully, like last time we did this, we went out and we spent a lot of money on one top rotation starter. We traded for another, and then Kyle Hendricks was almost a third. And so, talent like that comes from different places. When we traded for Jake Arrieta, we didn't think he was going to win a Cy Young. And so sometimes when we talk about impact, sometimes impact comes by paying for impact, like John Lester. Sometimes it comes from places you don't necessarily expect, and certainly my hope is that we can do both like we did last time.
So you hear that. He wants to do both. They're willing to pay the big money and get impact offense and front-end starters. Shot or no shot for Kaplan, Shohei Ohtani is a Chicago Cub.
There's a shot, man. There's an absolute shot. Now, again, Steve Cohen may go, how much did they offer? $400 million. Okay, go to $500. Go to $600. He doesn't care. He's got more money than all the other owners. So I'm not telling you they're getting him. I'm telling you they are going to absolutely be involved.
They will be involved. That's a shot. They will be outbid. That also is a shot.
But he may look at the situation and go, that was where I was going to go if they had a DH. They were the runner-up to the Angels. With the Japanese community and the amount of money that I can make internationally based in Chicago as opposed to playing for that lousy Angels, but what a lousy ball club. The Cubs might be what he wants. Not the Big Apple's not for everybody now. Well, I don't want to live there.
No, I understand that, but you know the Cubs and you know Ricketts. Ricketts is not going to do a measuring contest with Steve Cohen or the Padres or the Dodgers. He just won't.
Right, but if they...
He won't.
What if Ohtani says, okay, I want whatever it is, 8 years, $400 million, $50 million a year. Tom might say, okay, in.
You know that's going to get topped. You know it will
maybe,
be.
Maybe, but maybe Ohtani's not the guy that says I have to have the last dollar.
He's not Giannis, Cap, at least as far as we know. It's not Giannis that's happy to be in Milwaukee in a small market. Come on now. Let's not do pie in the sky here, all right?
Dude, I'm going to throw Malnati gift cards, whatever it takes.
All right, that's fine. Like, Cap the owner's doing that because Cap the owner's a maverick. I get that. You think that's what Ricketts is? The answer's no. Let me help you. The answer's no.
Agreed.
Because, but Cohen is... Dodgers are.
But
Padres
are. You
are.
Telling me that he is only going to be about the last dollar?
I don't know him that well to know that. I don't know.
I would think, based on everything I've read and heard, I don't know the guy, that he's not about the last dollar. He's about the right situation. I'm not asking him to play for $10 million a year. $50 million a year for 8 years?
Cap, we don't know that. I don't know the makeup of the man. Does he look at places like New York and Los Angeles and San Diego and go, you know what, I've got opportunities to make a lot of money here and off the field. And here, playing for the Cubs, I get a true value commercial. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you got to do...
Shohei. When I hit him over a true length fence. And when I pitch, nobody hits it over the true length fence.
I mean, seriously, what do you got to offer here?
And I park my brand new car, my Danley garage.
Building your garage for quality.
Are they still around?
Danley.
Get them on the show.
That's why we're number one. I mean, seriously, you get Empire Carpets? I mean, what else is he at? Cap.
Luna.
No.
800-588.
No, I mean, seriously. He's in New York, and he's got every car dealership, and he's got the world by the tail.
I got Earl Scheib.
Exactly.
Paint any car, any color, $99.95.
Would you like to come to the Torture Museum here on state? I mean, really?
Right.
I mean, so that's the difference. I don't know the man. I don't. You hope that he's a Giannis that says, "Yeah, I like Chicago. I like the community. This is where I want to be.
Yeah,
this is where I want to plant my flag, so to speak."
We'll see. Shay.
Ohtani's Hawkins soda.
I mean, seriously.
I'm Shohei Ohtani for soda weight loss.
Say it with me now.
Say it proud. That soda is state of the art.
Seriously. You know, hawking the Hawthorne race course app.
come friend Jim Miller.
Hello, my friend Jim Miller here. They're like, no, stop. Shay.
Trouble. All right. Yesterday, I asked you about the AL Cy Young odds. DeGrom entered the season as the favorite at plus 450, but he got roughed up by the Phillies in his first start, gave up four runs. Meanwhile, Gerrit Cole and Dylan Cease both struck out 10 and dominated. Odds have already shifted a bit. Cole is now the favorite, and Cease is right behind him. DeGrom fell all the way to third. Shot or no shot? This is an overreaction.
What do you think?
Of course it's an overreaction. I mean, if Florida Atlantic wins the national title Tuesday morning, they're going to call it, is Florida Atlantic the greatest team in the history of sports?
I know.
I mean,
I know.
That's what First Take and this culture does.
Mm-hmm.
It's one game.
It is an overreaction.
It's an overreaction.
I would agree with you. That is a shot. Shay.
All right, let's get to the baseball changes that we've seen. All of this excitement and optimism of opening day, for me, the payoff is the crushing realization, Hoodie, that there are 161 more of these games. Yeah. You have to live and die with 162 games if you're going to be a diehard fan of your baseball team. Baseball's already revolutionized itself this season with the pitch clock. They've re-incentivized base stealing. They've made some other changes, but shot or no shot. Baseball's next big change needs to be shortening the season.
No shot.
Expanding the playoffs or shortening the season?
Maybe both.
I want that on the table.
I don't believe it is.
They're going to keep it at 162.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, how much are you wanting to cut it down?
I think the sweet spot's probably 120-something.
Oh, God.
140-something.
That's never,
162
ever.
Is absurd. Even the players hate it. Remember Chris Bryant saying 162 is too many games?
No, it was Rizzo, because he said it on this show and he got in trouble, remember?
So, I think both of them said it, though, didn't they?
I don't know if Chris did. I know Rizzo did because he got in trouble
in
the union.
In that iteration, we're talking about 120 to 125 games ending mid-August. Is that what that would be? Mid-August?
Well, you'd start later, so the weather wouldn't be as big a factor.
So you start in mid-April?
Yeah.
Start in April 15th, tax day. So we're like in there.
Or maybe May 1st.
Oh, my God. I can't wait that long.
Yeah, Shay, it's silly because it's never going to happen. There's so much money at stake. The NFL's adding games. You want baseball to cut 40 games off? Are you insane?
The NFL adding games is different because they have such scarcity already.
They're never. You're going to have to ask players to give back so much money, and then teams give back advertising money. Never, ever going to happen.
Can't you make the argument that the sport could grow?
How does
it
grow?
The NFL is the most scarce sport there is, and it's by far the biggest.
Yeah, but how does baseball grow that way?
I feel I'm of the belief that if you shorten the NBA season, you popularize the individual games more than they are right now. If you shorten the baseball season, nobody's living and dying with 162 games. Nobody. If you shorten the season, you get more people to be there from the start to the finish.
I think it will, zero chance. Could it go 162 to 154, what it used to be? But I don't think that's a big
That's not a huge gap. No.
Agreed. You'll never get your huge gap, ever.
If it goes to 154, that means more playoffs.
Right.
And I don't think that's happening.
It's not happening. I don't see any scenario where it happens.
But with expansion, we might get another wild card.
I think you're going to see a team in Vegas sooner rather than later.
Vegas and Nashville?
Probably. Those are the two being talked about. I think the A's are moving. I do.
I was watching that game. We get the Angels. Just a sad little ballpark. Coliseum.
Brutal.
Put the horn down. Nobody cares. Exactly. Go home.
There's 9,000 of you here. Stop.
Shay.
All right, something else I noticed yesterday, a little geeky, along with the rule changes, was some of the best pitchers in baseball, and this includes Shohei Ohtani and Dylan Cease, were taking advantage of the new pitch com right on the glove. Mm-hmm. So they were calling their own pitches, getting up to after the pitch clock, ball in hand, call their own pitch, throw it to the mound. It was beautiful to watch, and they dominated. Shot or no shot, pitchers calling their own game is baseball's next big evolution.
Well, that's a shot, especially for the veteran player, the veteran pitcher, Cap. If you know that you have three pitches at your arsenal, okay, a guy like Cease will pitch behind, will pitch backwards, meaning that it's not first ball, fastball. He'll give you the off-speed stuff first, make you chase first, and then hit you with the powder river, the old fastball, late in the count. So, I mean, if you know where you're going, that helps the speed of the game, too. All right, here we go. Punch it in, fastball. Here we go. Here it comes, right? So I have no problem with that.
I do not think it's the next big thing. I don't. They put so much into game plans between pitcher and catcher. They're going to want the catcher calling it. Pitcher could shake him off, but they're not. No. For every Dylan Cease, Max Scherzer, 98% of the pitchers not capable of doing it. No.
Because they'd melt down?
They just...
Not confident
just
enough.
Just tell me what you want me to throw here. We went over the game plan. How are we pitching to this guy? They're not... They don't want to have to... Pitch clock. Now I got to stand here. Hold on a second. Now, what was our scouting rule? Like, while he's getting ready, the catcher's looking at his little card on his wrist.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, we go fastball first.
Well, maybe for the Jameson Taillons of the world, but like Dylan Cease, true elites could probably call their own game.
Well, that's a shot at Taillon.
Yeah.
One of your guys. How about that?
He's a veteran. He should be able to call it in your world.
He doesn't believe Taillon's going to be good.
I don't see that being the next big frontier. I don't.
I would say no shot because of the pitcher that is not confident in his own ability. Just tell me what I need to throw, and I'll just do it to the best of my ability. Right, Cap? I mean, there's some that you look like the part, but some really do need the extra help because it's in their head.
Yes.
A lot.
No question.
As a former catcher, I will tell you that is the case. That some is just like, man, just put down the numbers because I don't know.
And I can tell you that David Ross, he likes to have some impact on the game plan and all that. And Yan Gomes, Tucker Barnhart, those are defensive-minded guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're helping put the game plan together. They're not just sitting back there going, whatever he throws, no shot.
We got Courtney Cronin coming up at 8:35 on the Bears in the National Football League. And don't forget, we'll give you the Final Four for our Breakfast Madness this hour. But next, Around the NFL on Cap and Jay Hood.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN
Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Still to come, we'll hear from Courtney Cronin at 8:35 on the Bears in the NFL. But for more, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, and the Athletic put out their newest mock draft this morning. Mm-hmm. So I want to go through it a little bit with you guys. Let's start with the first three picks. Carolina stays put. This is from Bruce Feldman. Carolina stays put, takes C.J. Stroud. Number two, the Texans take Bryce Young out of Alabama. And then at three, the Arizona Cardinals stay put, take Will Anderson. Anything surprise you in the top three?
Not for me. Now, I have heard rumor, but they didn't go get a veteran, so unless they've got some plan to do something else, that D'Amico Ryans was thinking of taking Will Anderson at two. Two! And passing on the quarterbacks.
No,
I don't think they're going to do that. I do not.
Okay. Again, we always talk on the show about not outdumbing the room. The Texans need a quarterback. If C.J. Stroud is not there for them at two, then, you know, Panthers need a quarterback. It could be C.J. Stroud. And then from there, you know, if you're the Texans, you take Bryce Young at two. I don't think you can go wrong there. Even though I'm not enamored with the quarterbacks right away, at this point in time, take quarterbacks. Take them. You need them. So that's what I'm doing with the first two picks. Will Anderson for Arizona at three? That makes sense. They need a lot on that team. A lot. In the post-Kime era.
Now, will they play the game and say, hey, Indy, give us a pick, move up, or we may trade out of here and you don't get your quarterback? Maybe.
Could be. You are really enamored with Anthony Richardson.
No. I'm not. I'm telling you what the league is.
No, I'm saying that every time you see something about him or his workout times, you're pointing at the screen. Because, yeah, those numbers are eye-popping.
Threw 70 yards in the air yesterday, hit the guy right in stride.
Okay. And, you know, I'll be glad to be wrong. When was the last time I was wrong about this, Shea, about a quarterback? The Chargers quarterback.
Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Herbert.
I did not see in college where that guy was going to be this good on the NFL level. But the system works for him.
Todd McShay said yesterday that he was at the workout, the pro day at Florida. This kid is the number three quarterback in the draft behind C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. He said he does not know how to read a defense yet. He doesn't know how to recognize or call protections. He said it's multiple years, but the skill set is insane.
And if you're the Colts, how much time do you have to put this guy under your tutelage?
Do they have a veteran on their roster? Like, who's their quarterback today?
Gardner Minshew.
So, is he the starter?
He would be for me.
I mean, Anthony Richards is not ready to start.
Yeah, he would be for me. And you know that push and pull.
Do they still have Nick Foles?
They might.
They might. What I'm thinking is that at some point, if the Colts draft him, Richardson will play. You know how that works. You're not going anywhere anyway. You're going to throw the kid in there. Maybe there's injury. You'll see Richardson play. But I would put a veteran in there first. The way the Bears have done and other bad teams have done. Put the bad veteran quarterback in there first. Andy Dalton before Justin. The big giraffe before
Mike Glennon.
Before Trubisky.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
That's how you do it. That's it.
So four, Anthony Richardson to the Colts. And then this is where I think things start getting a little surprising. At five, the Seattle Seahawks select Georgia's Jalen Carter.
You know, I always thought that he'd be at six for Detroit because all those former players that are coaches bring him under his wing. Let's talk a little bit, kid. You made an egregious mistake in your life. Let me tell you about a guy named Warren Sapp. Mm-hmm. And they sit him down and they talk to him, right? Mm-hmm. Not saying that Pete Carroll couldn't do that with the Seahawks. I just thought that Jalen would be a interesting fit at six for Detroit.
If I'm the Lions, they're at six.
They're at six, and the Athletic has them taking Tyree Wilson out of Texas Tech.
If I'm the Lions, that's the guy. Because I can't get Will Anderson. Tyree Wilson with
Aiden
Hutchinson on the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So you don't want the smoke if you're Detroit. Is that what you're saying?
From Jalen Carter?
Yeah. You don't want
No, I want the edge rusher. So I got two dudes. And good luck.
So do you believe that Jalen Carter still will be a top nine pick?
Nine. I'm going to say he slides past that.
Oh, so he won't be. So he won't be a Raider? Perfect Raider.
No.
Well, did you see the reporting yesterday? So this is interesting, too. This was in around the NFL as well. There was reporting yesterday that the Raiders would not draft Jalen Carter, even if he fell to that point. And then Josh McDaniels came out today and goes, no, he's on our draft board.
That sounds so Raider to me. If the Lions don't take him, that'd be so the Raiders.
To take Carter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know them. That organization has not changed over the last 30 years. They have not. Yeah. Will, you know what? We'll take you. We'll take you. Yeah, we know that you're an outcast, but you know what? You could be a Raider. We'll take you. Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me.
Again, if I was a Hall of Fame executive, I'm Pete Carroll, I can do it. I could take the risk.
Okay.
Bill Polian, if he was still a GM, I could take the risk. Ryan Poles? No shot.
So after the Lions with Tyree Wilson at 6. What else do we have
at 7? We've got the Raiders. A couple Bears targets come off here at 7 and 8. The Raiders take Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle out of Ohio State. And the Falcons at 8 take Lucas Van Ness, the edge rusher out of Iowa. At 9, the Athletic has the Bears taking Peter Skoronski, the tackle out of Northwestern.
I don't want to hear the arms are too short with Skoronski. I don't want to hear that. Because if he continues to hear that, and it's like, yeah, you have a motor, but your arms are too short, you know what? That'll give him extra motivation, I think. And this organization seems to like their Illinois players. How many is on the roster now? 5?
Yeah.
4 or 5?
But he Poles likes longer-armed guys. I think he takes the kid from Georgia or the kid from Ohio State.
But Poles did also say at the owners' meetings this week that it's important to him to take guys who are homegrown. He likes having people on the roster that take extra pride in playing for the Chicago Bears because they grew up rooting for them, and he thinks it gets an extra level out of their play. Could be a part of things.
That's a different philosophy than I've heard around here. Remember, for years, Krause wouldn't take anybody from Chicago.
I knew that's where you were going.
Just saying, like there was obvious Chicago. You don't take Michael Finley from Maywood?
I don't like local players. He told me that when I was scouting.
What do you mean you don't like local players?
Jerry, what about this guy? I don't like kids from Chicago. Too much pressure on them. Wow.
So opposite. Then now you've got a GM that's embracing people from Illinois.
Right.
Interesting. It's different.
It is.
It's like, so you grew up as a Bears fan, so you want to be a Bear, right? That's one philosophy, I guess. Bijan Robinson at 10 with the Eagles.
That actually makes sense because it's a team that just went to a Super Bowl. They can afford to make a luxury pick. They have a bonus first.
They lost a lot in free agency, man. I think they need a defensive player. But, again, BPA, best player available.
Then there's Njigba from Ohio State, the wide receiver, 11 to the Titans. That's not a top 10 pick?
I've seen him as low as 20.
I'd take him at 9.
Yeah, I would. Again, I'm taking the best player. Do I think he's the best player on the board at 9? I don't. But what do I know? I don't scout in the NFL.
Oh, you don't have to. You as a talent evaluator have a decision to make. Do you want to put a wide receiver in there that you can mold and shape for the next, 5 to 10 years to appease the quarterback? And that's what you'd be doing.
Yeah, I'm not worried about appeasing him.
Well, that would be the reason why you'd pick him, though, because Fields has already said, I like him.
Simply the best player on my board.
Who is it? Skoronski.
Then take him.
Mm-hmm.
Period. That's what I would do. I'm not taking a guy to appease anyone. I'm not taking a guy to fill a position. Best guy on our board is who? Take him. Maybe it's a corner. Maybe it's the Witherspoon kid from Illinois.
You say that and let them take Bijan Robinson. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. See, you don't think I'm listening. I'm right here next to you. I hear every word you're saying. Let them take Robinson at 9. What? A running back at 9. Take that.
They won't do that.
Cap, don't tell them. You don't know that.
I know that.
And best player available. We like Robinson. You like what?
Mm-hmm. I would puke if they did.
Well, don't tell me best player available. On his board, it might be Robinson at 9. Then what are you going to say?
I'd be mad.
Being here at 5 a.m. yelling.
Danny, we're starting at 5 tomorrow.
Also at 18, I want to get this in quickly before we break, just to put the Hawaiian blue in Cap's blue pill over there. Uh-huh. The Lions at 18 take Kalijah Kancey, the defensive tackle out of Pitt. Cap, can you imagine your Lions with Aiden Hutchinson, with
Tyree Wilson
and Kalijah Kancey?
Wow.
Good luck.
Wow.
Brad Holmes, the executive of the year.
Got a chance. By the way, we got to get some time on the clock here. Give me a couple of minutes on Asante Samuel. Wow. That was interesting.
What happened there?
It's in the Friday folder.
Oh, okay. It's in the Friday folder?
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, we'll hear from Courtney Cronin. We'll get her thoughts about the Bears and the NFL. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox spoil the party in Houston with an opening day win over the World Series champion Houston Astros. Dylan Cease He struck out 10 in 6 and a third innings while taking a no decision. And the Sox, with a late rally, a two-run winning double by Andrew Vaughn in the top of the ninth inning. The Sox got the job done. They'll take on the Astros again tonight at 7 o'clock. Pre-game with Connor McKnight at 6:30 right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs are off today after picking up an opening day win 4-0 against the Milwaukee Brewers. They will play tomorrow at 1:20 as Justin Steele will be on the mound for the Cubs. The Bulls, they need a win tonight against Charlotte if they want to keep their play-in hopes alive. Jay Moore.
You're listening to Cap'n Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at the Catman and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Courtney Cronin is with us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
She joins us here on Cap'n Jay Hood. Good morning, Courtney.
Hi, guys. How
are
you doing?
What's up, Double C?
Not too much. Just getting ready for some good Final Four action tonight in the women's bracket. Looking forward to it.
Iowa against South Carolina.
It's a tough one to pick.
Well, it should do moon landing numbers, too. I know it's a Friday night, but I just think that one against two,
oh my God,
that should do some tremendous numbers. It's the
moon
best.
Moon landing numbers.
No question. For women's basketball, absolutely.
Oh my.
For women's basketball?
I've never heard it described like that, but I'm trying to pick that game and handicap it, and it's hard to go against a team that's undefeated right now, and where that would put Dawn Staley's group in history. It's pretty remarkable what we're seeing right now in the women's game. And how that's transforming women's college basketball. But gosh, Caitlin Clark against Aaliyah Boston, that's the matchup everybody was waiting for.
Cap, I need you to, before you cross the cheddar curtain, I'm going to need you to put a little money down on South Carolina, sprinkle a little bit on South Carolina. That's going to be a hell of a matchup, though, for sure. But sprinkle a little bit. You don't believe me?
Okay. What's the line?
That doesn't matter. Just put it on South Carolina. They're going to be good. But it's going to be a very entertaining game, Courtney. You are correct about that. Could you tell us what you learned from those meetings around the NFL and the Bears? Anything that stood out most?
Yeah, I mean, when we get to talk with Matt Eberflus, with Kevin Warren, with Ryan Poles, just about the direction that this team is going after the trade of the number one overall pick and after free agency, it's a little bit more of the same in terms of the methodical approach and realizing that you can't fill every void on this roster in one off season. But the doubling down on the commitment to Justin Fields, I think, is, you know, probably the forefront of where this team is, and realizing that if you don't build around him, you're probably not going to have success. And that's pretty apparent just with what they did with DJ Moore. And I think we really learned about that from Matt Eberflus during the coach's breakfast, I believe it was Tuesday this week, because, you know, when he was asked about, like, do you envision everything, when you traded the pick, does that mean that you believe that the passing game struggles were more because of what's around Fields, more than just, like, Fields himself? You know, we talk about him holding onto the ball too long. And I think that Eberflus's answer was kind of revealing that, yes, they do know. They're never going to say, yeah, we were a talent-deficient team last year. We hung him out there to dry, and now you have to undo that. Now you have to put pieces around him because, you know, they would have moved on. If they really didn't think that Justin Fields could be a better quarterback and reach his potential with resources and the in investments around him, they would have probably not traded the number one overall pick and taken a quarterback and started over. I mean, that was two scenarios there for them: keep Fields or go get another quarterback. And we never felt like there was real tangibility behind them going to draft, whether it's CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, whatever, because Fields showed them enough to know, hey, if you put the right pieces around him next year, things could look very different. And that's the approach that now that the dust has settled and you hear from Matt Eberflus about, you know, where they are in this process, they're comfortable with their choice. And I think that for the Bears, it's a good spot to be in. And then on top of that, I mean, the one thing I thought from Kevin Warren was really interesting is that you know, for a 3-14 team coming off, you know, that season, there's more excitement than he's ever been around for a group that had a very bad losing season, you know, the worst in the NFL. So it'll be interesting to see what that does to move this thing forward and how they can hit on their draft picks and what this roster looks like a month from now.
If I said to you the commissioner walks up and says, with the 9th pick, the Chicago Bears select Bijan Robinson, running back, Texas, what would your reaction be?
I mean, he's the best running back in the draft. We know that. I would be shocked because I think that they would trade out of that spot before drafting Bijan Robinson. And it's not to say that the backfield is solved by any stretch with Deontay Foreman, Khalil Herbert, and some of the other pieces that they have in there, Tristan Ebner, Darrington Evans, if they bring him back. All of those things said, you can still go get a complementary piece in the draft in one of the later rounds. Bijan Robinson is a terrific player, and he probably will be available to them at 9. I just can't see them spending draft capital like that, even if it is best player available. Remember, Ryan Pohl said there were 6 or 7 players that they evaluated would be worthy of their number one overall pick when they were deciding to trade back to number 9. And we asked him about that again. Like, do you still see that many players that are there for you at 9? And they are comfortable with their options right now. I just don't know, when you think about how many holes they have to fill, having a sturdy running game is probably more of a priority than going all in and getting the best rusher in the draft right now when you can fill that need somewhere else.
Courtney Cronin with us on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Courtney, I need your help with Lamar Jackson. This is not going well. It's just when you're clapping back at just random, you know, eggs on Twitter, this is not good. Like he says lately, the last couple of days, let's get real. I'd rather have 100% of my PCL than go out there and play horribly, forcing myself to put my guys in a bad situation. Now that's selfish to me because someone's saying, hey, you're sitting out because of the money. You know, all of this is not going well. And what, from based on your reporting, what have you heard lately about Lamar Jackson? Will he be a Raven when the season starts or not?
I do not think he will be. I think this is somebody who is dug in and very much built upon principle. And that's the reason that you haven't seen any sort of movement. And you're starting to see the frustrations play out in real time. I credit Lamar for letting us hear from him the day that he dropped his trade or publicly addresses, hey, I requested a trade on March 2nd, and that was Monday of this week when he lets us know that, when John Harbaugh is literally about to sit down at owner's meeting. So he's got a mole in the room, that's pretty clear. But I, on top of that, this isn't going the way that he expected it to, because by now he probably felt he would have had somebody giving him an offer sheet that he could take back to the Ravens, and whether they match it or let him walk. And now the options are running out. I talked to some people around there, like, how is this going to play out? Just, like, go ahead and forecast this to me to September. And if he doesn't have anybody not, like, if somebody hasn't matched that offer sheet, he's not dumb. He's not going to miss out on $2 million a week, more or less. This will be somebody who ends up reluctantly playing for the Ravens next year if nobody else gives him an offer, if he doesn't wind up somewhere else, or even if there was a tag and trade scenario. Like, that's the one that we don't talk about that much. And I know the Patriots have come up in the conversation about that. Well, what if they gave the Ravens Mac Jones and their first round pick at 22? Would that be enough for a tag and trade scenario where you wouldn't have to match the offer sheet and give those 2 first round picks? I say no. They probably want a second round pick in there. But it's an option. The Colts are one. I mean, we did a roundup of what everybody said about Lamar Jackson, from owners to general managers to coaches, and nobody's clamoring to give up that sort of draft capital. The consensus is he's too expensive right now. Maybe that changes after the draft, but, you know, realistically, I think he's played his last game for the Baltimore Ravens. I think at some point he will end up conceding and, you know, being able to sign somewhere for less money, because it's so toxic to imagine him going back to the Ravens this year And doing so by missing the entire offseason program, you can be sure that he's not going to show up for any of the offseason workouts, for any of training camp. Like, if it's the nuclear option, he shows up, you know, a day or two before week one, and he ends up just relying on his natural skills and natural athletic ability to beat teams, which he can do until he gets into a rhythm. But it's tough. Brand new offensive coordinator, brand new offense. They're trying to bring new pieces in. It doesn't set anybody up for success. But right now, I think Lamar is so dug in and trying to prove, hey, I've done everything right. The Ravens have put me in a tough spot. It's not helping his case by any stretch, but I don't know what more he can do other than just sit quiet. And frankly, it's nice to actually hear from him, even if it is responding to people on Twitter. I don't know if it's helping his cause, but so often we have these situations where we wonder, I wonder what the athlete actually thinks about it instead of the talking heads talking for him. You very much know what Lamar Jackson is thinking right now and where his head's at.
Okay, we only got like 30 seconds. I just got to ask you this. People will give up DJ Moore, this year's one, next year's one, another two for a guy they don't know if he's going to make it. We got a guy who won the league MVP, and they don't want to give up two number one picks? I don't understand it.
I mean, that's a lot of draft capital to give up for somebody who's missed 40% of games the last 3 years due to injury. Just saying.
Got it.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Get a take that in.
Courtney Cronin with us on the CarX and Tire Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Coming up, Breakfast Madness. We have our final four. We'll tell you who the selections are coming up next.
Thank God one of the seeds went down.
All right, that's
a bad committee. But we get to change them out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a new committee next.
We do?
Yeah.
Wow, new committee.
Just who gets to do the seedings. That's like the NCAA. They change them out every year. The ADs move on. Get a couple-year stint.
My check didn't hit my account. I was starting to feel like I was maybe fired, and now I know.
Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.